It's time for the one show that takes you into the world of business coaching and takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Thank you very much. It's good to be back. I missed you people last week, but Paul took good care of the show while I was gone, so I appreciate that. Well, look, today's episode, we're going to be talking about accelerating leadership and personal effectiveness with Dr. Nelson Zagowski. And before we get to that, let me just say that if you're not listening to this live, if you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. And while you're there, be sure to check out our archives for other shows with some great guests. Might just warn you, somebody said, hey, I can't find any of your old shows on there. Well, on our website, we only carry the most recent shows. If you want to go back a little further, go to our Podbean site and you'll find everything there. There's a link on our website that'll take you right to it. And speaking of guests, if you'd like to be on the show, we're always looking for coaches, CEOs, and HR professionals to interview. Just drop me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. All right. Nelson, are you with us?
Yes, I sure am.
Hey, I'm excited about this. Thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today. Well, let me just give our audience a little background on you, Nelson, before we start off. Nelson's Fortune 100 cross-functional and PL management experience, plus a PhD in control sciences, plus training as a certified behavioral coach, all enable him to simultaneously work with his executive coaching clients on two tracks. And this is what really fascinated me. One, a challenge track that is focused on helping the client gain new insights into a business or management challenge. And two, a leadership development coaching track. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today and also some of Nelson's other programs that he does. And it promises to be a lively discussion. So you ready to start off, Nelson?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So, look, tell our audience what you did before what you're doing now. And someday I'll figure out a better way to say that, but you know what I mean.
Okay. Actually, I started my coaching and consulting practice about 16 years ago. Prior to that, I had been held various roles at technology companies, engineering, marketing, general management. But about 16 years ago, I started my practice. Initially, I was focused on management consulting, primarily for high-tech client companies because the tech space was where my background was. And while I did some coaching, it was a minor part of my practice. My consulting was in the areas of strategic planning, product development, and marketing. I had held those roles in Honeywell and other technology companies prior to starting my practice. As soon as I got certified as a coach about 8 years ago, I completely refocused my business toward executive coaching. And I guess initially I approached human resource departments with the request that I be considered for executive coaching opportunities. And most of my success was in penetrating organizations that had limited previous experience with executive coaching. So, for example, Parker Aerospace was one of my first major coaching clients. That was a long sales cycle, but it resulted in multiple coachees at the firm once they observed, the positive impact of executive coaching. However, over time, there have been less and less such greenfield opportunities as more and more companies are already using coaches that they're pretty satisfied with. So my business model has changed over time.
That's the sign of the times for all of us is, can we adapt to a changing consumer and a changing business client? So how's that changed for you, Nelson?
So currently, rather than try to go into greenfield opportunities, I go into firms that are already using coaches, and I ask that I be added to their qualified coaches list. And since my background is particularly well-suited to the companies I address, I was able to get added to the list pretty easily. I could usually get an appointment with whoever was managing the qualified coaches list. Now, while the name of my firm, High Tech Focus, tries to differentiate me as someone who's especially qualified to coach at high-tech companies. The reality is that I can coach at other types of companies as well. However, as competition is heated up in the marketplace, I do find that it's more effective to approach companies, where my tech background differentiates me. Now, my early business model was to provide all my services under my own brand, High Tech Focus. But with the Great Recession driving a reduction in coaching engagements at many of the firms, their interest in adding new coaches to their current qualified coaches list decreased significantly. So now I'm also doing some adjunct coaching for Cambria Consulting, which is a leadership development firm based in Boston that has some East Coast headquartered client organizations with facilities here in California. So, for example, through them, I've coached several executives at the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA. I've coached an executive at a San Diego pharmaceutical R&D operation whose headquarters is in Boston, and coached the CEO of a locally based retail and manufacturing company that actually is far from high tech. What they do is they make remote control cars that kids can build in a retail shop, like a Build-A-Bear, but it's a Build-A-Bear or for boys. So I found that, one new way that I'm, trying to stay in the marketplace. But like you say, a lot of things have changed in the coaching community over the last two or three years.
You know, it really has changed. And, your entry into coaching initially through the consulting field is relatively common. And do you find that that's a handicap at all? I mean, you hear so much talk by coaches that have not done consulting who are concerned about, well, are you given advice or are you coaching? How do you think your consulting background has, what's the role it's played in your effectiveness as a coach?
I'll tell you the truth. There's two approaches to coaching. One is a structured, directive coaching approach, and at the other extreme is a non-directive approach. Now, I do think that because of my consulting background, and maybe because I'm an engineer by training and therefore, inclined toward more structured approaches, I do tend to be a little more directive. And so I think consulting has made me more of a directive coach, but that's something that kind of fits in with the coaching methodology I've been trained in. I was trained by New Ventures West, and in our coaching, a lot of our coaching designs are pretty structured. We design practices for the clients that we think fit the needs of the client and don't fully depend on the client to kind of map their way to a solution with us just asking the right questions. So I do think I tend to be a more directive coach than some, and perhaps the consulting has caused that. But at least in coaching, technology executives, seem to appreciate more of a structured and directive approach than perhaps some others do. It hasn't been much of a handicap.
I think it's probably just the opposite. It's probably been a great benefit. Nelson, you and I have both been in coaching long enough to have seen a lot of changes. And what are you finding in the marketplace in terms of the need to show that you've had, certified coaching training? Are you finding more and more requirement for that, or is it more based on personality to get the job?
I think it's probably more based on personality. I think having the certification certainly helps round out my credentials, were I to go in with just a consulting background and say that I have some coaching experience, I don't think I'd place as high on the list as having the ability to also add the credential. But I don't think it's a showstopper. Most people don't really ask whether I'm certified or not. So I volunteer it and I use it as part of my promotion. But I'm not sure it's really front and center in a lot of the clients' minds. In fact, you know, I've actually run across companies who are somewhat biased against using certified coaches because their stereotype is that if you've gone through a certification program, you may favor too woo-woo a methodology.
I love it.
Especially in technology companies.
Yep, technology doesn't go along with woo-woo. I'll agree with you there. Thank you for those answers. Now, tell us a little bit about, you know, what the services and products are that you produce. Who's your ideal client? Who are you working with today?
Okay. I provide leadership, business, and life coaching for executives. As you indicated at the, you know, in the introduction, I do typically coach on two tracks, a challenge track that deals with a business or life issue that may have motivated the request for coaching, or what we typically call the presenting issue, and then a leadership development or personal development track. And, you know, the first half hour of a coaching session is usually spent on exploration of progress and obstacles encountered in dealing with the challenge. And the challenge track discussions, you know, then inform the development track. So, for example, I might spend the first half hour of a session discussing progress against the client's challenge of improving their organization's performance and meeting schedule commitments. And that may have informed the development track that the client doesn't hold people to their commitments because he or she tries to avoid conflict. So the development coaching focus might be on how to become more comfortable in dealing with conflict. Most, you know, very recent engagement was actually with a client whose challenge was becoming a, if you like, more comfortable in administering than in being an individual contributor. So his challenge was, you know, relating to people, getting people to follow him. His actual developmental challenge was becoming less concerned about other people's opinion of him, less concerned about external approval, so that he could be a more authentic person and therefore easier to relate to. So you can see, you know, on the one hand, the challenge was how do I get people to follow me more readily? But the issue was really a personal development challenge in that in order for people to follow him, they had to be able to trust him and believe he had their best interests at heart. And that required some work on his, you know, becoming more authentic, on becoming more empathetic so that people believed that he understood what their needs were and had their best interests at heart. So that's kind of a typical delivery. You know, let's work on what they believe their presenting issue is, you know, whether it be meeting schedules, whether it be getting people to follow their lead more easily or whatever. But then honing in on what might be the underlying developmental gap or personal development issue that we need to work on to get at the root cause of their presenting issue.
Great explanation of that. Let me ask you another question here that just sort of popped in my head. You know, I hear a lot of people debating about whether they need a business coach or a life coach. And a lot of coaches make a real point of saying, well, I'm a business coach or I'm only a life coach. What are your thoughts on that, Nelson? I mean, it sounds like you do both. It sounds, you know, do you see a big distinction? Is there a separation?
Well, I don't, because I think I'm a life coach for business executives. and the reality is almost every business challenge that my clients are facing, when we get down to doing an assessment and finding out what's at the root cause of the challenge, it's probably because there's some human being 101 gap that they've never fully addressed. And if we address that gap, it'll help them meet their business challenge, but it's also going to help meet their life challenges. So I don't see a real distinction between business coaching and life coaching in that when we get to the root causes of their challenges, whether it be business or life, we're going to be helping them solve their challenges across both domains.
I think that's a great answer. Great answer, because I agree with you completely. So obviously, it must be a great answer. But
sure.
But you know, my own experience is most business people hire me to be a business coach, not a life coach. Any of them don't have life coaching issues that we deal with then once we start working. So, you know, maybe it's a way of approaching it that solves the problem.
Yeah. Besides, now, I almost never start with a life coaching challenge. You know, it's rare that a client will say, hey, I want you to come in and help me with this issue that's outside of the business domain. It's just that once we do an assessment, we'll find that the issues we need to address will not only help them in meeting their business challenge, but will typically help them in meeting some simultaneous life challenges they've been facing.
Absolutely. Nelson, besides the coaching, you offer some other services. You want to mention those?
Yeah. I occasionally facilitate strategic planning meetings or provide some other management consulting service as a service to a coaching client, but almost never now as a standalone service. So, for example, I recently facilitated an all-day strategic planning offsite for the executive leadership team at the NASA Dryden Flight Research Center. But that was because I had just previously completed a coaching engagement with one of the senior directors of the center that had been targeted at improving his leadership effectiveness and their ongoing strategic planning process, which was one of his primary leadership responsibilities. So that was the challenge track we were working on. How do we help him improve the strategic planning process at the facility? So since we'd been working on that, you know, and then working on his personal development track, when we finished the engagement and he had a need for somebody to come in and help them facilitate strategic planning, and since I had once served as the director of corporate planning for Honeywell, my strategic planning experience and my familiarity with his challenges made this a suitable consulting assignment. So whether it be strategic planning or engineering development or marketing, if a client comes along and as an adjunct to his coaching would like me to separately support some consulting task, especially if it's not simultaneous with our coaching. So if I've coached somebody and then he approaches me later and says, hey, could you help me with this consulting task, I'll do it. But I almost never take on standalone management consulting assignments anymore.
And I can see where your familiarity through your coaching with the individuals and the organization probably gives you a real edge in the consulting issue, whatever it is, whether it's leading strategic planning or something else.
Correct. But yeah, to tell you the truth, what gets my juices going are much more the coaching assignments than the consulting. So I kind of enter the consulting engagements reluctantly, but pays the bread.
Okay, so let me kind of go off script here and ask you, what is it that about coaching that draws you to it? Why is it that you like that so much more than the consulting? What turns you on about being a coach?
You know, I'm a pretty achievement-oriented. I'm a personality type that likes to make things happen and, you know, kind of my juices get going if I have some impact. And I find that I have a lot more impact as a coach than as a consultant. The consultant comes in and addresses a singular problem and, you know, helps the client solve it. But I don't see that as life changing for the client. Whereas I've had some coaching experiences where it's really changed the life of the client. And I've gotten a lot of recognition for that. You know, I'm a personality type that needs external approval. And I had one client, for example, where a little story here. You know, this particular client approached me with the issue of, you know, being overwhelmed by all his stakeholder demands. And he was really, you know, a star performer, and his organization didn't think that he needed any help, but, you know, just wanted me to help prepare him for his next promotion. And they said, you know, you work with the client to figure, you know, with the coachee to figure out what his needs are. Like many other star performers, within a few minutes of talking with him about his challenges, he said, forget about helping me get ready for my next assignment. I'm working 24/7 just to keep up with what I have on my plate now. So here was a guy who was one step away from succumbing to the Peter principle. You know, that's Peter Drucker's hypothesis that we're all going to rise to our level of incompetence. And, you know, if he would have had any more responsibility added on to him, 24/7 wouldn't have been enough to keep up with those responsibilities. So he was under a lot of stress. He was not doing as well as he would have liked, well enough for the organization, but not as well as he knew he could do if he could somehow meet all the demands on him. So anyway, this was a person who wasn't a happy camper. He wasn't enjoying the journey. And we were able to move him from that position to one where he really was on top of his job. Instead of working 65 hours a week to keep up with the job, he had it down to 50 hours. Well, that particular difference is the difference between having to work at least one weekend day and having the whole weekend off to recharge your batteries. He was able to enjoy his family more. He was able to interact with his staff more effectively because he had more white space in his calendar. Now, this client was really near the, you know, getting back to the top of his game, and this was after about 6 months. Now, unfortunately, that client had an auto accident, and suddenly he was killed. So here we had gotten him to a point where everything was going in a positive direction, but, you know, his life ended. When I went to his memorial service, his wife comes up to me, who I had never met before, and thanked me for helping him get to a point where when he left this world, it was at the top of his game and not under stress. His peers at the office came up to me and thanked me. The feeling of satisfaction I had from knowing that I had helped this individual get to a place where he never would have been, you know, were it not for the help I offered, and the satisfaction I had in feeling that I had an impact, that particular experience has, you know, that's kind of a highlight for that experience. But when I work with a client who recovers their life because they now are enjoying the journey, that has a lot of impact on me, you know, a lot of satisfaction. And it's more their getting their life back than their performance. You know, most of my clients, their performance was never an issue. You know, people don't seem to invest a lot in executive coaching for problem performers these days. It's more for what they consider star performers. So it's usually not a question of how do we make somebody's performance better, but how do we get them to a point where they can be more effective with the, you know, amount of effort, where they're more efficient in applying effort and they're able to enjoy their life journey. Now, sure, their performance also improves. His employees, because he was able to spend more time with them, you know, became more effective. But there's a big difference between that and coming out of a consulting assignment where you give a report at the end of your consulting assignment. And sure, there's something that was positive, but it's kind of a fleeting gain. Whereas when you're coaching, you can walk away feeling that, you know, you've really had impact. And, you know, for someone like myself who's always looking to have some impact, you know, it's just a lot more rewarding.
That is a great story, not only for what you did for the client, but I can see the impact it had on you in terms of really solidifying for you where you want to go in your life and what's important to you in terms of accomplishing and doing for others. I'll tell you what, don't go away, Nelson. Just hang on a minute. My producer's notifying me. It's time for a commercial break, and then we'll be right back.
Okay, sure.
Can we talk about your family business? You know, that thing you put your whole life's blood, sweat, and tears into? Well, what happens when you retire or try and pass that business on to your children? At Succession Strategies, we can help you find the answers. We'll guide you through the unsettling process of protecting your family legacy and successfully passing your business on to the next generation. safely and securely, ensuring that it'll both survive and thrive for generations to come. So ask yourself just one question. Can I really afford to wait? Take the first step. Take our complimentary self-assessment at successionstrategies.com or call us at 714-560-9022 to set up a free consultation at your convenience. That's succession-strategies.com.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
And now back with Doug and his guest.
We're back and we're talking today to Dr. Nelson Zagowski about leadership, personal development. So, Nelson, one of the reasons you were interested in being on the show was to talk about the linkage between personal development and leadership development. Tell me a little bit about that.
Okay. You know, I think that personality-rooted blind spots and problematic behaviors really limit our development as leaders. And while most of us will eventually shed many of these problematic behaviors and, you know, get through our blind spots, we usually do it by self-inflicting enough pain that we shift those behaviors. You know, we mellow out, if you like. And that's a pretty slow approach. And I'm passionate about sharing my views on a faster approach. And my passion is driven by my realization as I look back over my own career, which was arguably pretty successful. I believe I could have accomplished much more and, more importantly, better enjoyed the journey had I earlier learned the secret to more rapid leadership development. That is, could I have become a better leader faster? And I believe that there... secret to doing that lies not in building a bigger leadership engine. You know, it doesn't depend on learning about new leadership processes and learning the best management techniques. I think it's more about simply in removing the breaking effects of one's personality-rooted blind spots and problematic behaviors. And my passion is also fueled by realizing how much more effective the leadership teams that I participated in might have been if we had become mutually aware of how our personality-rooted behaviors were contributing to dysfunction on our leadership teams. What I like to do as a coach is to address, you know, personality-rooted impediments. It's not what I like to do. It's the path, I think, that's most effective in helping people gain a step on their leadership growth. Now, toward that end, I'm trained and certified in the use of the Enneagram Personality Typing System and in a behavioral coaching methodology called Integral Coaching. Now, Enneagram typing is a great assist in identifying likely problematic leadership behaviors. And then integral coaching is a holistic behavioral coaching methodology that can achieve pretty rapid shifts in the problematic behaviors that might have evolved because of our particular personality type. So if I could, maybe I could just put in a few words about, you know, personality.
This is great. There's kind of three terms there that I hope you're going to, you know, give our audience a little more background on. Give me a little more background. Personality-rooted impediments. I'm not sure I know what that is. The Enneagram I've heard of, but maybe we need a little more discussion. And the integral coaching is a definition I'm looking for. So,
okay, so
fire away,
Nelson. Personality first. Personality is the pattern of attitudes, motivations, and behaviors that determine how we view and respond to the world. You know, so therefore it determines our blind spots and our problematic behaviors. You know, so we kind of have a structure of interpretation that we develop over time. And our personality is the prism through which we, you know, view the world. You know, it's what really drives our structure of interpretation. So So to the extent that we have a personality, and we all do, understanding what our personality is, and then trying to, if you think of it as a distorting prism, if we try to get rid of the distortions, that is, get rid of the impact of our personality on how we view the world. You know, some of us view the world, the cup is half full, some of it view it as half empty. Well, it would be good if we just viewed the world as the cup as having so many ounces of liquid in it, neither half full or half empty. So the Enneagram personality typing system is a personality typing system just as Myers-Briggs, which a lot of people may be familiar with, is a personality typing system, and DISC is a personality typing system. Now, the difference is the Enneagram system is more based on what drives your behavior and what drives your perspectives than on your actual behavior, whereas Myers-Briggs and DISC are based on behavioral descriptions. So in taking an online Myers-Briggs test, for example, you'll be asked, do you behave in this situation more like A or more like B? Whereas in the Enneagram, in testing your Enneagram type, the questions will be more about what your attitude is towards things, you know, what motivates you, because it's your motivation that drives your behavior. Now, the Enneagram has 9 personality types associated with it. And each of the types results from character development that occur as a person grows up in their childhood. Now, some people believe you come out of the birth canal with a particular Enneagram type, one of 9 types. Others feel that, hey, at least by the time you're age 2, you have solidified an Enneagram type, and you're stuck with that type for the rest of your life. Now, when I say stuck, no one type is better or worse than another type. But within each type, there are various stages of development. Now, that's one of the things that uniquely characterizes the Enneagram as a personality typing system, in that it has a developmental model associated with it. And for each Enneagram type, once you know your type, you can determine what is the best way for me to grow within my type. So let me give you, quickly go through what the different types are, and maybe people have a better feeling for, you know, why the Enneagram and why personality types are something that would impact somebody's effectiveness.
Sure, go ahead.
There's 9 types. And within each type, as I said, there are various stages of development. And actually, there's more variability between different stages of development within a type than between types at high stages of development. Now, the 9 types, the first type is the reformer. And let me just give you a quick definition. The reformer is the rational, idealistic type. They're principled, purposeful, self-controlled, and perfectionistic. Now, the rational, idealistic, principled, purposeful are all strengths. But when they tend to be overused, you result in some weaknesses, like being a perfectionist. Every type actually evolved because the person was able to deal with what we call their basic fear. Each Enneagram type, their character developed in response to a basic fear for their type. Actually, we all have the fears for all of the types, but the strengths that we have for our particular type allow us to do something about the fear. So, for example, in the reformer, the basic fear is being bad, imbalanced, or defective. That's the basic fear. The basic desire response to that is to be good and to have integrity. Now, we develop our character because of the motivation from that fear and that desire. But if you overdo it, you might end up being the perfectionist. So if you can grow within your personality type, the perfectionist's attribute is less evident, and some of the more positive attributes like rational, idealistic, principled, purposeful, self-controlled are all more evident. Similarly, let me go on. So type 2, the helper, is the caring, interpersonal type. They're demonstrative, generous, people-pleasing, but they're also possessive. And without going into what is the fear for each type, let me just run through the types. So the achiever, and I'm an achiever, is the success-oriented, pragmatic type that's adaptive, excelling, driven, but they're image conscious. Right? And we sometimes call them the chameleon because they can change to suit the environment. Helps them in some situations, but you can see how they might come across as being less than authentic. The individualist is the sensitive, withdrawn type, expressive, dramatic, self-absorbed, and temperamental. Now, sensitive, expressive, dramatic are okay, but self-absorbed and temperamental are things you want to try to repress as you grow in that type. And we can go on. I won't go through all the types, but there's the challenger.
Yeah, I think I've got the idea of the different types and what the strengths they bring, and each brings some potential for weakness, and each has different kind of development opportunities, if
correct.
I understand
and now,
you right.
Because the personality is a large contributor to our structure of interpretation, to the extent that our perception provides some blind spots, it also impacts our development of certain competencies. So, for example, relational skills. If somebody has a underdeveloped empathetic attribute, you know, they can't empathize easily, then they're going to have poor relational skills. And certain personality types do cause people to be less empathetic or less caring if they're not fully developed within their personality. So you can see how in any, you know, one's Enneagram type might impact their ability see things as they clearly are, might introduce some blind spots, and just as importantly, might inhibit certain competency development. Now,
so once you have these, once you understand these about a client, then, Nelson, then how does this play into your coaching model then?
Okay. So the first thing we do is a pointer to where might there be some needs for behavioral shifts. You know, knowing somebody's personality type gives you a clue to inquire into, is this an issue for the client, or if they develop far enough within their personality type that some of these stereotypical weaknesses aren't an issue. But if they are, it points to where might we want to achieve some behavior shifts or some competency gains. And then the integral coaching is about how do we introduce those behavioral shifts. And integral coaching is really a outgrowth of a some work that contemporary philosopher Ken Wilber did, that where he developed a four-quadrant model that says we all operate within four domains: the awareness domain or the mind, the relational domain or the heart, the body domain, you know, our somatic capability, and then the environment. So if you think of the stick figure, we're walking around with a head, heart, and a body. If we want to achieve behavioral shifts, or if we want to understand how situation has come to pass and what's causing it, we want to look at the client's challenge in the context of these four domains. And then when we try to shift their behaviors, let's try to introduce practices that address the client's behavior in all four of these domains. And as an example, if I had a client whose problem was that it was their way or the highway, that is, that they were insensitive to other people's needs and, you know, it had to be their way, I might introduce a integral coaching program that consisted of some awareness practice like journaling, you know, journal about instances during the day in which you were less flexible than you might have been. I might introduce a relational practice like empathetic listening, in which you reflect back to the other person what it is that their understanding of the situation is, and this would kind of focus you on being more aware of what's going on with other people. And I might introduce even yoga as a mind-body practice with the idea that a more flexible body might support a more flexible mind. Now, those three practices, empathetic listening, journaling, and yoga, together are what I call an integral coaching program. By simultaneously working on all domains of the client and not just focusing on one like awareness or one like empathetic listening, we get a more rapid shift in behavior. So I start with personality typing to kind of find out where are the competency or behavioral shifts we might want to work on. And then we transition to integral coaching to introduce the practices and the coaching program.
Okay. So, Nelson, if obviously you're just given kind of a thumbnail sketch of a very sophisticated system here, how can our audience learn more about this? What would you suggest?
Well, one thing I would encourage is that they go online to a website called theenneagraminstitute.com. And it's actually Enneagram, not the, but Enneagram, E-N-N-E-A-G-R-A-M, Institute.com. And they can take an online test. It'll cost them $10 and charge their credit card, and it'll take about 45 minutes. But they can then start reading about what is their likely Enneagram type. And if they have some ambiguities, they can call me. My contact information is 949-495-1271, or my website is www.hightechfocus.com. And I can help them resolve the ambiguities. But then they can read about their personality type. They can do a lot just being self-aware of what might the issues be. Just a little bit of reflection about themselves is a great start toward awareness, and then the ability, they can read on the website, in fact, about practices they might self-employ. So they don't necessarily need integral coaching to make some forward progress.
Okay, great. Nelson, anything else as we're kind of running out of time here, anything that you didn't get a chance to share with the audience or that I may have interrupted your train of thought that you want to cover in this last couple minutes?
Okay, well, one thing is, you know, I kind of am on a mission to help raise corporate awareness of the linkage between personal development and leadership development. So if some of them are interested, they can email me at nelsonz@hightechfocus.com and request a description of a presentation that I do that they can send on to their head of HR or to the organization's top executive along with a cover note. I'm always eager to go into organizations and explain why they as an organization can become more effective if they start focusing more on personal development than they have been. That's an area that's generally not addressed in organizations.
Okay. And, you know, when I put this up on our website, for those who are challenged to sit and listen to a whole broadcast, which some people are, do you mind if I put a little summary and direct them to your website and request that they ask for this presentation?
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay, I will do that when I put your show up next week onto our websites. Well, look, thank you very much for being with us today, Nelson. It's fascinating to get a chance to talk to you. Your practice of integrating life and business coaching and your very sophisticated coaching methods to apply to it have really been an education for me, and I appreciate you taking the time.
Okay, well, thanks a lot for the opportunity.
Great. We'll be in touch with you soon. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Have a great evening. Well, we've been listening to Dr. Nelson Zakowski talk about leadership, personal effectiveness, really got into his passion there about the Enneagram and about about personality rooted impediments. Fascinating topic. I guess I need to learn more about that. That was an interesting one. Well, look, commercial here. We've been coaching executives and business owners for almost 19 years now under the banner of the Coaching Perspective. And our primary focus is helping to create more effective teams. And we work with both existing and new management teams and project teams. And in all cases, our goal is to increase the productivity of the team and the individual members. So that's kind of who we are, who you've been listening to. I might make you aware that next week, November 12th, is the Orange County chapter meeting of the International Coach Federation. And their topic is going to be want more clients but don't love selling. Boy, that should attract everybody I know. And join Mike Brenhaug as he shares some inspiring success stories on how to execute a sales strategy with high confidence and great results. You can go to coachesoforangecounty.com to get more information. The meeting's at the Wyndham Hotel, again, November 12th. So I just want to thank you for tuning in today. We're on the air live every Thursday, 4 p.m., right here on Orange County's premier talk radio station, octalkradio.net. Look for our weekly newsletter on Wednesdays. If you're not getting it, drop me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. I'll make sure you get on the list. So this is Doug Gefeller signing off. I hope you've enjoyed the show today and that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can use to identify and achieve your goals. Have a great day.
You've been listening to the only show that takes a look at business from a different perspective. It's The Coaching Perspective with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.